There are no skits this afternoon. We'll save it for tonight. We have a special surprise, and you'll understand why in a little while.
Amen. If you open your Bibles to Genesis 39, please. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 7. As it is quite hot, if you could all please stand and we'll read it together. Just get, you'll be sitting for a while, so get you to stand. It's very hot in here. Genesis 39. And let's read together verse 7 through to verse 12. Genesis 39, verse 7 through to verse 12. The Bible says, verse 7, "And it came to pass that after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife, thou
and I do this great wickedness,
and sin against God. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time, that Joseph went to the house of Judah's business, and there was none of them in the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and fled, and got him out." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again, Lord, for the week that we've had so far. I pray now, Lord, for the short time we'll have of preaching and teaching. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Amen. Lord, may you get glory through everything that's done. Lord, please give the young people here something practical, something to help them, Lord, amen, through this week, through next week, through the months and the years ahead. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Amen.
Have a seat. If you look in your... If you have your booklets, you'll see that the title of the subject we're dealing with this afternoon is Overcomers. Overcomers. Overcoming temptation.
Give it.
What I've called my message today, though, is who's throwing the mud at you? Who's throwing the mud at you? The passage we read, Genesis 39, verse 7 to 12. You know the story. Joseph is down in Egypt, a servant in Potiphar's house. And he's alone in the house with Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife, remember we looked at before, she grabs his garments, and he runs out of there. He flees out of there. It's I'm one of God's people. Get me out of here, Joseph says, and he gets out of there as soon as he can. And I want you to know is everybody gets tempted.
Yeah.
Even Jesus got tempted. Matthew 4:1 it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil."
Yes.
Everybody gets tempted. You get tempted, I get tempted, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself got tempted.
Yeah, amen.
And what you get tempted with, it's not something wicked, something that you hate, it's something that looks good.
Yeah.
Yes. Something that looks good.
That's right, amen.
When I was young, I used to go fishing with my uncle down on the rocks in East County Waterford quite a lot. And you go fishing, sea fishing with hooks. But you don't just put this big hook out into the sea. You've got like a feather. It looks like a fly, and you've got the hook hidden inside, and the fish bites it. Because it looks like something good, something he can eat. But the hook is hidden, and then it gets you.
Yeah.
And that's what temptation is like. It looks good. It looks like something I'll have fun there. But at the last, it bites, and it gets you. That's what temptation is. So you're tempted with something that looks good. I want to talk to you today just about the two greatest temptations that you will deal with as young people, and even the adults, as older people, the two greatest temptations you will deal with.
Hey.
Sorry, 1 second.
This book last night,
about one verse, it talked about all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
And what I want to demonstrate today, I want to show you, give you just something practical. I'll give you an illustration that you might stick in your mind and it will help you to deal with temptation.
Amen.
But to start with, I want to show you that if you're not saved today, that all your unrighteousnesses, all your righteousnesses, all the good things you do are as filthy rags.
Yes, sir.
That's God is a holy, pure God. But all the good things you do are like that.
Amen.
God. That's how holy, that's how good. It doesn't matter if you're mommy's best little girl, best little boy. It doesn't matter if you go to church every week. Even if it is a great Bible teaching, King James Bible teaching, Fundamental Independent Baptist Church, it does not matter. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter whether you pray every day, whether you read your Bible every day. Have you been saved?
Amen.
Do you know if you died right here, say God forbid we had an accident, if you died here at camp, would you go to heaven? Or do you know?
Well,
you can only know if you've asked Jesus Christ to save you. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
Amen.
Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Psalm 51:7. "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." When you get saved, you're as white as snow.
Amen.
You're pure. You've been washed from your sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. You are saved. You are pure. And let me... This represents you when you get saved.
Amen.
This is you when you get saved. You're white. You're clean. First time I've hung out washing in a long
time. Not doing too bad.
Okay. This represents you when you get saved. You're white, you're clean. But the trouble for us is that we need to stay pure. We need to stay clean. We need to stay holy just like God.
Amen.
And that's a hard job.
Yes.
It is hard to stay clean. I told you I was going to talk to you about the sources, the temptations that you've got in your life. The biggest, the single biggest temptation that you've got in your life comes from the people around you.
Amen.
Comes from your friends.
Yes.
They're the ones that are going to influence you,
Amen.
Tempt you, and try to spoil you from being white as
Amen.
Snow. Let me describe some examples of the type of people you might be friends with. Your first friend, let's call him Eddie. Eddie is a friend in school. Eddie's not saved. Eddie's not saved. So the first thing is that no matter how good Eddie is, Eddie, his righteousnesses are his filthy rags. So this is Eddie that you're friends with. Like I said, no matter how good he is, his righteousnesses are his filthy rags. But Eddie... He's 15. Recently, he started drinking. He started hanging out with the older lads. He does what all teenagers do.
Yeah.
He sits on the wall down at the crossroads.
Yeah.
And he's hanging out with the older guys. He started getting into drinking.
Come on now.
That's Eddie. Eddie is a lost guy. That's your first friend. Your second friend, let's call her Mary. Now, Mary is saved. Mary is saved. She was saved when she was a little girl. Go to church, read her Bible. But Mary has got hard-hearted. And Mary has started listening to hip-hop music. And everyone thinks of Marilyn Manson and all that heavy metal stuff has been really wicked. But you don't see many 8 or 9-year-olds being converted over to that, listening to that. I know there are some, but you don't see many. But this hip-hop music that talks about rebellion, lust, sex, drugs, it's got 8 and 9-year-olds walking around half-naked on the streets.
Yeah.
It's getting such a younger age group. And Mary
has started listening to that. And you see, Mary has got dirt on her. She hasn't been able to protect her pure righteousness. And Mary looks like that.
Now preach it. Amen.
Your third friend is Bill. And Bill is saved too. Now let's put Bill up on the other side. Bill is here.
Oops, didn't mean to get dirty. That's
fine.
Yeah. That me?
Get something out here.
This is practice one now. You gotta have.
Okay. Amen. Bill is saved too. But Bill has hardened his heart. Bill is the guy that sits in the back row that matters to the guy beside him, mocking the guy that's preaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mocking the guys that are in camp trying to do right, trying to serve God, trying to love him. And Bill has hardened his heart so much that he too has got all the mud all over his heart. Run out of space here on our washing line. I thought it'd be bigger. Fourth one is Johnny. And Johnny isn't. I won't preach from down here. Johnny isn't saved. Johnny too is lost. But Johnny is 17, and Johnny is the cute guy you go to school with. Johnny is the guy that comes in on Monday morning bragging about all the parties he's gone to, all the chicks he's got.
Yeah.
He comes in bragging, and like I said, Johnny isn't saved. And Johnny, too, has got dirt all over. And let me stand back and look. Look what happens. You, the new Christian that's just got saved, you stand out. You're peculiar.
Yeah,
you look unusual to them.
Yeah.
And you know what? They want to bring you down to their level.
Yes.
They want to drag you down because they're, let me say, especially the Christians in this group, especially the middle-aged.
Yeah, man.
They haven't been able to live a joyous, victorious Christian life, and they want to drag you down to their miserable level.
Yeah,
don't let them do it.
Amen.
And let me show you what happens. Eddie, we said, I've been drinking. He was lost, and he's drinking alcohol. And Eddie says, you're a nerd if you don't drink. You'll never get to hang out with the older lads. And he starts to put a bit on. You'll never get a girl if you don't drink. It's not cool. And he starts to tempt you and entice you with his sin. You see, what he's not telling you is that little drink that he has, that drink is what has destroyed this country.
Yes, sir.
That drink is what is the excuse for people not going to work in this country.
Yeah.
That drink is the excuse for people beating their wives in this country.
Yeah,
for men abusing their children in this country.
Sir.
That drink is the excuse for everything in this country. The most wicked thing in this country is that drink.
Amen.
And he's going to try and entice you
yes.
and get you in there. And he's going to try and spoil your holy look. Mary is your saved friend who's backslidden listening to her music. She says to you, oh, what's wrong? What's wrong with that music? I go to church anyway. I read my Bible. And she says, come over to my house. We're having some friends over. We'll have a sleepover. We'll have some fun. And you go over to her house and they're all playing that music. That music that preaches its gospel of rebellion, lust, sex, drugs, all of those things, and you take away your innocence, your purity from those things, and your so-called friend is getting you into that. And Bill, the back row Christian,
I don't mean just the back row, I mean in the sense of the hard-hearted, you can be sitting anywhere, the hard-hearted Christian that mocks, he's the one that's going to come to you and say, sit beside me, we'll have some fun. And you sit beside him at church, and he starts whispering, don't listen to that little guy, what would he know? He wasn't a teenager since 1950. Well, you know, he isn't dealing with the same thing. And you know, maybe not the first time, but after weeks and weeks and months, that sinks into your heart and you start to wonder, I wonder, is it right? And you start to get that doubt in your mind. You start looking critically at what he's saying. You start to think, this isn't for me. And you get that hard heart of him, and he's thrown some more mud on your life. And finally, Johnny. Johnny Girls is going to come up to you in school. Hey, I've noticed you around. You're the Christian girl, aren't you? I admire what you stand for. I admire that you stand up to those other people. Let's go and have a coffee. What harm can that be? See, what he's not telling you is that he's made a bet with his friends that he can get the Christian girl who's saving herself for her husband in the future. But he's not telling you that you'd just be a trophy for him to have his fun, right. And off he goes to the next girl.
Preach it.
Yes.
Amen.
And he gets yet more mud and scars that will stay on your heart forever. Yes, God forgives.
Yes, sir.
But it will still stay with you, right? It will stay with you, and you'll wish you had never, never gotten into it.
Amen.
And you see the trouble? See what's happening? How hard it is, because of the people around you, to try and keep a holy, a clean and life and stay away from temptation. See how hard it is. Let me show you, let me give you a practical way to help you that this won't happen to you. You'll say, I wish I could start again. What you need to do is get some protection. Amen. Get some protection around you. Let me say, first of all, never say, I can do it. Mm. I can handle the temptation. That is the most dangerous place where you are. You're the greatest danger to yourself where you're saying, I can handle this. I can deal with this. You need to say, Lord, I can't do it. Man, greater people than me have fallen.
Yes,
I can't do it. Lord, help me.
Yes, sir.
You need to get that heart. Because pride cometh before destruction and a high spirit before a fall. When you've got that pride and you believe you're going to do it, you'll fall. You need to put protection around you. Let's start. Almost done, just a couple of more minutes. You'll say, I wish I could start again. So let's go back to the start. You're just saved. You're whiter than white. You're clean. You're pure. You say, temptation is going to come from the people around me. So you say to yourself, who are the people I want around me? I want those people who aren't going to lead me into temptation. You say, well, I need to spend some time with my pastor. I need to spend as much time as he has available, learning from him, as he helps me.
Amen.
And you find he goes in there. And these guys get pushed out.
Amen.
Ladies, you say, I need to learn from my pastor's wife. I need to learn what it is to be a good Christian lady. I'm going to spend as much time around her. I'm going to learn from her. And she goes in here. And these guys get pushed out.
Amen.
You say,
lost or saved?
I need to become friends with my parents. They're not my enemies.
Amen.
I am commanded to honor my father and my mother.
Amen.
They love you. They want to help you. They want to guide you on the right path. And you need to become their friends. And your parents, you talk to them. Don't talk at them. Oh, what would you know? Ah, shut up. Talk to them. They're people just like you.
Amen.
Talk to them. And they go in there. And your friends. You look around in church. And you look for people who not just are in church, but are sitting on the edge of their seats looking for truth.
Amen.
You see them changing. Amen. You see them looking for God, saying, Lord, I want to change. I want to become a better Christian. And you say, I want to be their friend. And you put friends like that close to you. And you say to me, well, there aren't many people my age in church.
Come on now.
Who said anything about age?
Amen.
Who said anything about age?
Amen.
Sir.
I'm 27 years old, single. Let me tell you who my best friends are. My pastor.
Amen.
Ashley's dad.
Amen.
And Joel.
Amen.
The nearest is 11 years away from me in age.
Amen.
You say, but I need people the same age as me. I need people the same age as me. Ashley, can you stand up, please? Ashley's been in our church since it started for almost 8 years now, yeah? We've got to speak out loud. For how long was there nobody your age in church?
8 years.
8 years. Have you ever prayed for people your age?
For all that time.
If you are a teenage girl from our church, please put up your hand.
Amen.
God answers prayer.
Amen.
And God answers someone who will be faithful and serve no matter how hard it gets.
Amen.
See, God will answer if you're looking for truth, if you're looking to keep clean. And you know what happens? The devil is looking for an easy target. And you're protected.
Amen.
You're protected. And you know, in this, there's peer pressure. There's peer pressure, not to look unusual.
Amen.
Not to look peculiar.
Amen.
Not to look abnormal.
Amen.
But you know, when you're living right, you're living pure, you're living clean, you're not unusual.
Amen.
As everyone else.
Amen.
Peer pressure is to live right, to serve God, and to keep clean and holy and keep away from those temptations. So let's help us.
Every head bowed. Every head bowed. I read it several times. Nobody looking around. It is a whole lot easier to stay clean than to get clean. And I wish some of these young people would see that their lives are because they're born again, blood bought, washed in the blood, saved. All of their past is under the blood. There they are. They're like that T-shirt. They're clean. But I wish they knew just how much the devil hates that. Lord, please. Every person in this room needs to make a decision today. with nobody looking around? Would you tell God, I needed that? Tell God, that was the best kick in the rear I've heard yet. And that I'm ashamed that I have discarded all of the important protection that you've given me. And I keep finding myself filthier and filthier. And I know it's going to be hard to get clean, but I'm going to get clean and I'm going to stay clean. And I'm going to live where God placed me, in my family, in my church, and for God. And in this room, there are several people, undoubtedly, who in their heart of hearts, there's just a hollow hole, an empty shadow of religion. Jesus is not there. He's been kept at the church. He's been kept in the picture. Somebody today needs to ask Jesus, who lives in heaven, to live in their heart and to make them your child. Help them to be born again. Wash them whiter than snow. God, I thank you for the blood. I thank you that you can take the vilest, the worst. But God, don't let us push the limit. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Joseph feared God. We need to fear crossing some lines and getting out of that area of protection and getting out in the devil's territory, because out in the devil's territory, he shoots the wounded. He doesn't coddle them. He doesn't protect you. He will devour you. Every kid in this room needs to run back to the cross of Calvary and stay close to godliness. I pray, Lord, please give our kids another chance. Give the parents another chance. Give our churches another chance, Lord, with these precious children. Thank you for this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I have a... Okay. How many enjoyed that?
Amen.
Man, I did too. We have a special event that's about to take place, but it will require incredible levels of intelligence. Seriously. Massive amounts of brawn.
Brains.
No brains, though. Listen. In exactly 6 minutes, a bus is arriving. Maybe in 1 minute. Oh, I thought it was it. We will be going to the beach! Now, what that means is this place is to be cleaned up. Your stuff is to be put away. I want your rooms clean. That's going to take a miracle. Listen to me. You are to gather. You are not going indecently. You are taking clothes. You may wear, there is the bus. You may wear your swimming trunks under your clothes. When we get to the beach, we're separating. Then you guys get your swimming trunks. Girls, you will remain. You will retain a top on at all times. Is that clear? Guys, we're going over to one section. Girls are going over to the section. And we're going to get wet, throw people in. We're going to bury people in the sand and hopefully leave them. But you've got 10 minutes. If we're going to enjoy this, excuse me. Like I said, it takes incredible intelligence, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You've got 10 minutes to get your room clean, get your stuff put away, get the clothes that you're going to be wearing at the beach, put them on underneath, whatever. We are stopping at the shop on the way, so bring you a fiver to get you a Coke. Don't get any more chocolates, guys. You guys are eating more chocolate than I dreamed of. Get all that, and then get out here to the bus. I'll need every driver I can, because I don't know if we'll all fit in. Get going.
I'm going to ring my mentor.